Song that we're going to sing here in just a few moments is a Christmas song that is familiar to many of you. It is the song, O Holy Night. And as I was studying for tonight's Christmas Eve message, researching the history of O Holy Night, there was a recurring theme, and it was that O Holy Night is full of unexpecteds. Unexpecteds. There was the unexpected composer of the poem, Placide Capot, the commissioner of wines. That was, by the way, my best French voice, if you didn't pick up on that accent there. He was the commissioner of wines in a small French town known more for his poetry than his church attendance. But in 1847, he was asked by his parish priest to write a poem for Christmas Mass. There was the unexpected composer of the tune for O Holy Night, Adolph Charles Adams, a famed and talented musician who was also a man of Jewish ancestry, giving sound to a song about a holiday he didn't celebrate and a man he did not view as the Son of God. There was the unexpected denouncement of the song by the church when Placide Capot left the church and became part of the socialist movement, and it was discovered that Adolph Adams was a Jew. There was the unexpected rise of the song in America during the Civil War, thanks to a Unitarian minister named John Sullivan DeWitt, who related the last verse of O Holy Night to the movement to ban slavery in the United States of America. It's actually a verse that has become more popular these recent years. Truly he taught us to love one another, his law, his love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. There was a legend, an unexpected impact on the Franco-Prussian War, when on Christmas Eve 1871, a soldier suddenly jumped out of a muddy trench and began to recite the poem. This led to a 24-hour pause in the fighting so that these soldiers could celebrate Christmas. It was unexpected when, in 1906, Reginald Fessenden, a university professor in Pittsburgh who was the former chief chemist for Thomas Edison, broadcast a man's voice over the airways for the very first time. You know, the very first thing that anybody ever heard on the radio was the Christmas story, the gospel according to Luke. And then he played O Holy Night on his violin, making it the first song that was ever heard or transmitted through radio waves. That first Christmas. Going back to that first Christmas, if you are part of our church family, you know that every week of Christmas I've read the same passage out of Luke chapter 2, and I want to read it again tonight because I believe that much of what we read about in Luke chapter 2 is about things that are unexpected. Just think, have that mindset as we read Luke chapter 2 once again and see how unexpected this really is. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was the governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." You see, the birth of Christ was prophesied, yes. But expected? No, not really. I want you to think about this. He was unexpectedly born to Jewish peasants. Think about it. You might have expected that Jesus would have been born into a Pharisaical family, or he might have been born into a scribe sect, or born into the Sadducees, who were the aristocracy, the wealthy, the rich, the powerful, those who were in charge of the temple. You could even see Jesus coming as a Levite, but he didn't come through the Levitical tribe. He came through the tribe of Judah. And he was born to poor Jewish peasants. Mary and Joseph were poor Jewish peasants. In fact, it tells us that when they presented Jesus at the temple, it would have been customary for them to have presented a lamb as a sacrifice offering. But if you were poor, it says that you could substitute for that lamb two pigeons or two turtle doves, which is exactly what they did. Unexpectedly born to Jewish parents. Unexpectedly born of a virgin. It is absolutely necessary that Jesus be born of a virgin. There's even some debate going on in theological circles today about whether or not it's necessary for Jesus to be born of a virgin. Let me tell you something. For us to be saved, it is absolutely necessary. But in some ways, it's still unexpected because we can't put those two and two together, can we? Because we know how that whole process works. And so, so he was unexpectedly born of a virgin. He was unexpectedly born in Bethlehem. You say, well, no, Pastor, it was prophesied that he was to be born in Bethlehem. No, I understand that. But remember, this was the birth of a king. You could have understood it if God had said he's going to be born in Jerusalem, right? I mean, that's the center of it all. But God didn't choose Jerusalem. He chose Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem had some history. Rachel died there. Ruth and Naomi passed through there. It was David's birthplace. It was the place that David was anointed king. But it must have fallen out of favor in some sorts, because in Matthew 2 and verse 6 it says, "Bethlehem in the land of Judah are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Unexpectedly born in Bethlehem. He's unexpectedly laid in a manger. We know from the scriptures that there was no room in the inn. The inn was probably some sort of a public lodging place, but there was no room. Remember, people were traveling back because they had to be registered, so the crowds would have been full, the city would have been full and overflowing, and so there was no place at the primary place that most of us, it would be kind of the same thing as a hotel. There was no place, there was no room available for them. And to have laid him in a manger is literally to have laid him in the feeding trough of an animal. That's why most people believe that he was most likely in a cave somewhere, in some kind of stable type environment where other animals. It doesn't tell us, by the way, that there were other animals around, but have you ever seen a nativity without one? No. Why? Because it mentions the manger, and the manger is a feeding trough. Not what you would expect for a king. Unexpectedly, his birth was announced to shepherds. Oh, we think of the shepherds as being somewhat glorified in our culture, but not in that culture. In that culture, most of the shepherds generally were considered to be dishonest. According to the standards of the law, they were ceremonially unclean. They were considered outcast in society, and yet it was to them that the angels appeared 2,000 years ago on that oh holy night to announce the birth of Christ, the birth of a Savior. Unexpectedly visited by the Magi. These prominent figures, we assume there's three because there's three gifts. There may have been more, there may have been less. But these were prominent figures, priests or wise men, probably from Persia had come, and they were so important, they had already had an audience with King Herod. Remember, King Herod gets really nervous when they said they've come to seek the king of Israel, a baby that has been born. Unexpectedly visited by the Magi. Unexpectedly, they fled to Egypt. Think about this. Jesus, or Joseph, was visited in a dream and told to take his family. They became refugees, a word that we've become familiar with in our culture today. They become refugees in Egypt because Herod was going to order the slaughtering of all children under the age of two. Can you imagine Prince William and Kate taking Prince George and fleeing old Great Britain? But this is what happened here. Unexpectedly, they lived in Nazareth. Jesus grew up in Nazareth. Remember what Nathanael said? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It was considered to be a city that was irreligious, morally lax, and uncultured due to their mixing with the Gentiles. He unexpectedly worked as a carpenter. Carpenter was a humble profession, moderately compensated. It was working with one's hands. And yes, Jesus cried that oh holy night, like all babies cry. And finally, unexpectedly, he was born to die. Yes, he was born to die. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Remember Simeon when he takes the baby Jesus into his arm, he says, now my eyes have seen your salvation. Jesus came and he had a beeline to the cross. It was why he came. You know, if you and I were to sit down and try to conjure up a way to save all of mankind, I don't think any of us would have come up with this story. It's entirely unexpected, but do you realize, and one of my good friends, Dr. Scott Mays over at Northwestern Hills Baptist Church, he posted this week. Do you realize that Christmas is God's way of declaring war on sin? That's what he did by sending Jesus to die on the cross, to take the punishment for our sins. He was unexpectedly born to die. That's what makes Christmas so great. What is it about a child that wakes up on Christmas morning and opens a present? It's the surprise, right? It's the unexpected that always gets them. Usually it's the less expensive gifts that they're most excited about. I get it. This is the most precious gift of all. I want you to remember this Christmas Eve how gracious God is to send His only Son to die for you and for me. I read a story this week, and your reaction to the story is probably going to be like my first reaction to it was. And Chris, if you've got the picture, if you don't mind posting it up there on the screen. That's not my house, by the way. This is a picture of the Christmas tree belonging to Emma Tapping and her family. Speaking of England, this is where they hail from. And for the last couple of years, she's kind of made the news for the extravagance that she's poured out on her children. She's got three children. Each of those children receive about 100 gifts each. And that's about, I guess, 300 gifts and probably some more that are under the tree there. You know, my first reaction is like yours, like, oh, here we go again. This is the commercialization of Christmas and this is, you know, all that stuff. But I'm not suggesting anybody needs 100 gifts. Certainly not these two down here. And any of you other kids in here, don't expect that you've got 100 gifts under the tree. But what it did remind me of is how gracious God is. He just pours out, and he pours out, and he pours out his love on us. That's what Paul said in Romans, isn't it? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? What an amazing God we have to give us his son, and yet he continues day after day to pour out his blessings on us. As we go into the lighting of the candles and the singing of O Holy Night, before we do, I want to read to you the translation of the French version of O Cantique de Noël into English, because it reads a little different than the rewritten version that we will sing here in just a moment that is O Holy Night. Midnight, Christians, is the solemn hour when God as man descended unto us to erase the stain of original sin and to end the wrath of his Father. The entire world thrills with hope on this night that gives it a Savior. People, kneel down, await your deliverance. Christmas, Christmas, here is the Redeemer. May the ardent light of our faith guide us all to the cradle of the infant, as in ancient times a brilliant star guided the Oriental kings there. The King of Kings was born in a humble manger. O mighty ones of today, proud of your greatness. It is to your pride that God preaches. Bow your heads before the Redeemer. The Redeemer has broken every bond. The earth is free and the heaven is open. He sees a brother where there was only a slave. Love unites those that iron had chained. Who will tell him of our gratitude? For all of us he is born. He suffers and dies. People, stand up. Sing of your deliverance. Christmas, Christmas, sing of the Redeemer.